Blog Talk Radio.
I know you're gonna dig this.
This is mandatory. But don't worry, you know what? You're gonna learn plenty.
Oh my God!
I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
I love strippers.
Oftentimes you find them on
Dave Chris. PerfectlyHarmlessRadio.com.
Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
So you know you are getting the best possible information.
Dave Chris.
Oh my God.
I'm not nervous in front of them. They're my subordinates.
No, we're not.
Yes.
You are.
Dave Chris.
And I misspelled the word failure.
Failure. F-A-L-C-H-R-I-D-A-V-E. Hi, welcome to Dave and Chris Show. We're at live at Cigar King in Skokie, Illinois.
Cook County, Illinois, the corruption capital of the world here.
Where our ex-governors make your license plates.
Right. That's right. And soon to be our ex-senators make your license plates.
And,
Where
and maybe, what is Burris now?
Well, he's still a senator.
Is he considered a senator? Did he ever sit down?
He did. He sat down. He was sworn in. And then
I don't think he stopped moving since. It's like watching an episode of ER or something. You know, we're all walking all the time. It's actually like the West Wing.
That's right.
He never sits the hell down, man.
Chris and I are from Chicago, Illinois, where 30 aldermen have been convicted of crimes in the last 30 years.
We're 30 for 30 right now.
There's only 50 aldermen at any given time.
Yeah, wow. How do you think they get those jobs, man?
Yeah, no kidding. So, yeah, we're live at the Cigar King. You can call us at 646-929.
I can't see the number from here.
0423. I'm amazed I can't, actually. I was just thinking I need new glasses.
I have to do the old man thing.
Yeah.
646. All right. We have to do a cigar check. I'm smoking a JFR.
Yeah, but I have a JFR, too, but I have the mild version.
What the hell do I have exact same cigar as you?
Oh, okay. Well, you bought two mild ones and two...
This guy's testing. It's a... Hey, what's that cigar again? A Pepin Garcia.
Oh,
I've never
Larry Lozier. Larry Lozier, one of the cigar kind of, what do you call it? Like a sommelier, right? Is a wine guy.
A cigar, a fumalier.
He's a female. He's a female here at the.
He's a foobar fumalier.
But Larry says that's a very good cigar to Pepin. I remember.
He actually freaking lit up when he talked about it, man.
Yeah.
You know?
You know,
I was talking about porn or something.
Right. To Larry, cigars are like porn.
I can see that.
Yeah.
A little.
Wow. And you know what? On a Friday night at the Cigar King, I'll tell you what. We've been doing the last couple of shows at Zachary's, and it's a lot of fun because it's a lot of fun drinking more and, you know, sitting at the bar. But we're sitting in a couple of easy chairs here. We got two big screen TVs in front of us and a circle full of guys that are having a conversation. This is much more comfortable.
This is way better. And we got a little bit of Scotch, Smittix.
Yeah.
And it's not going to cost me $40. My wife won't have to come pick me up. Last show, all right, with author Tim Style as a co-host.
Thank you, Tim, for being here.
You're awesome. He can't listen to us, by the way, because he only has dialogue. All right.
He's a Luddite.
Change his name to Sven or something.
Yeah, he's a Luddite, not an Amish.
It's like he should have a barn raising or something, man.
Oh, wait. Hey, before we go out, we're supposed to have Jim Ma.
Jim Ma, who is?
He owns the Ravenswood Bookstore, which is my favorite bookstore.
That's right. The bookstore, organized bookstore in Chicago.
Oh, it's great. It's on Lincoln Avenue.
You should call it a book pile instead of a bookstore.
Well, it almost is. The aisles, and for somebody of my girth, the aisles are very, very small.
I could use the euphemism presence.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. The aisles are very, and I remember one very soft-spoken guy, so I hope he's a good interview. But he told me he's going to call in or stop by. I don't know. But he has every used book you can think of, and they're all in good condition.
Oh, my God. I wonder if he's got Savage.
I don't know. We can ask. But he, and you go in there and you go, hey, you have this book here? Oh, yeah, I got one. It's over there. And he'll point to one direction in the store. Not a shelf, a group of shelves. You have direction, and every shelf has two rows of books. So could be behind one. I mean, but it's so much fun. It's like, it's what I wish I could do when I retire.
My second favorite bookstore. I still am a huge fan of Bookman's Alley in Evanston. Because that's a freaking awesome joint.
It
man.
Is a good book.
But it is meticulously organized.
Right.
You know, it's a whole different bottle of wax. That guy doesn't do anything but sit behind the counter and sell these $10,000 first volume signed books online, man.
Yeah, this guy is just, it just looks like he's having fun all the time. He's working a Facebook page and a blog. News of the day, he's kind of liberal, but he does the news of the day and writes it in poetry.
It's not iambic pentameter.
I was asking about that. I don't think it is.
I don't think it's free verse. It's bizarre, you know?
It really is. If the Dick Times or Dick...
Is it the Dick Times, but you know what? Nobody else is doing that. So there you go. Maybe he's reaching a niche. We don't know.
I don't watch poetry. I always read poetry well because I like reading some of it. I love the respect when I read it. One poem he
writes... We have a call.
That might be Jim Mulcahy.
Hang on. Do I have to get up and do that?
No,
I'll get up. I'll do
just,
it.
Just lean forward there. We're going to click and see who's on. I forgot to tell us that we can read it because we don't have a producer. So we just got to. I don't think he's on. You got to hit it again. No, you're hitting the hang up button, man. There you go. All right. All right. Now, hi. Who's this? Oh, wait, we haven't. Hi. You hung up.
I didn't hang up.
Well, hopefully. Chris.
And welcome to Moron Radio.
He popped it. It's really cool, but it's like you got to do everything. All right, here we have a caller. Who's?
I'm right here.
Hi, who's this?
This is Jim Mall.
Hey, Jim, how are you? This
good,
is David Christian,
the author of The Dick Times and a Burner.
Hey,
The Dick Times,
Jim,
and Ravenswood Youth Books, yeah. That's me.
Hey, Jim, what's the address for the Dick Times? Is it The Dick Times or just Dick Times?
Oh, no, it's a blog spot deal. It's Blogspot. It's thedicktimes.blogspot.com.
I just Google.
And everything, now, you write yourself the whole time?
That's right. Yeah, I do. I've been doing it since about 2000, but it's only been a blog for the last 4 years or so. But everything I've ever written is on there. If you want to.
Well, it sounds like it's...
Go all the way back down the archives. It's all political.
Well, I was mesmerized by it today when I took a look at it, and I think it's extremely unique, and I don't think you'd win that. It sounds like kind of a Garrison Keillor thing that Garrison Keillor sort of didn't do.
Right, sort of, except it's poetry. I mean, it's really...
He's probably kicking himself in the ass right now with a banjo.
You know, Jim, I write, and when he says it seems like you have enough material there to write a book or two or three.
Yeah, no kidding. It never keeps rolling out. You know, it's either Springfield or it's Washington or God knows what's next, you know. I might have to
stop until everybody dies. Now, I got a question for you, Paul.
Yeah.
I've been to your bookstore, and I am intrigued by your filing system.
By the what?
By the system.
I'm having trouble hearing.
Oh, well, what we're talking about in the bookstore, it seems that it's a sort of an Art Expo type of deal.
It's Art Expo, did you say?
The bookstore.
Yeah.
I think you could drop the word organized.
It is organized, but just barely. People criticize us because we're not alphabetized, but... Beyond that, it's pretty well organized.
Yeah, I love it. I love the fact that, I mean, I go in there and I look for, usually I come in there looking for a book, and I mean, a lot of times at work, I hope nobody follows me, but.
Hey.
But
don't tell anybody that.
But it's one of those places you could spend a whole life and find things that you never even thought of, which is great. Because
yeah,
while
know,
you're
it's
looking
like,
for. Yeah.
People like that about it.
Right. Yeah. It's a really. I love that. Like I said, I wish that's something I could do when I retire. And
well, it's an experience.
Get out your checkbook and retire today, and write a check for the thing. I'll move to Florida. You know.
You've
been here 20 years, haven't you?
No, I just look old. Not yet.
He's only been a cop for like 6 months. The other couple of years, he was impersonating a cop, him and that 14-year-old kid.
He must have gone through that pay to play promotion scheme.
Yeah, pretending. If you ever look at his badge, it's actually chocolate candy. So do you store that way because you want to enforce the experience that people are supposed to have?
I am not an enforcer. I am not an enforcer.
No,
I'm
okay.
I'm a very nonviolent guy.
Yeah, and now on Facebook, now I met Jim a couple of years ago, and I'm sorry, and there was a very nice lady who we got into a conversation with, and we started talking about this show and the book that we're writing, and she steered me to Jim's Facebook page, the Ravenswood bookstore group on Facebook, and there's a lot of members, there's a devoted following there on Facebook.
Yeah, we've got 70 or 80 people, which is great.
Yeah,
that's more than we've got, isn't it?
Yeah, it is more than we've got.
God damn it.
You had 10,000 people that tuned in every Friday. Come on. Am I wasting my time here?
There's a lot to follow this.
Huh?
No, I disagree. I disagree with a lot of stuff you say, but it's really in poetry. Are you going to write something for Burris? Do you have something written for Burris?
Oh, man.
Oh, I've written a lot of stuff about Burris.
I'm sorry. I was going to be specific about. Do you have anything that telling him to resign? Any poetry that tells him?
Not yet. I have not done that yet, but I will. I'm probably. I've been following it very closely in the papers, and the last posting I put up about him was just as this brand new investigation was going on with the FBI. Take a look at him and more phone calls and messages and all that stuff. But I'm going to be honest, Case, yeah. It's disgusting.
Right, and I think the president's going to come out finally and say, hey, you got to go.
Who knows? The last thing in the world I want to see is Judy Bart to take his seat.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if she'll run.
Who?
Judy Bartzapinka. Although she's
got a show at our old radio station.
Yeah.
I only like her because it's fun. Topinka?
Well, she's
got to say a whole name, man. Judy Bartzapinka. It sounds like she's in a dish, you know.
She's just another Southside bungalow person, you know. Come on, how different could she be than anybody else?
Well, you know what, and this is speaking as a Republican committeeman. The problem with Judy Bartzapinka, and I personally, I love her. I think she's a lot of fun. She's great to talk to, but she is the opposite, but equal to the Chicago machine. She is the part of the Illinois Combine, and we need some new fresh stuff in Illinois. We need new people. I don't care at this point. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. I just want them to be. Not part of the establishment.
Well, Burris is not part of the establishment.
Outside, no, Burris.
That guy's
Burris.
An oddball. He couldn't be as far out of the establishment.
No,
as Burris.
He's a free radical.
He is. I think you're right. I think he's a free radical. I don't think he's part of the establishment.
Oh no!
Have you looked at that guy's grave?
Yeah, but he's absolutely
Superman's grave is less intense than
he
that.
He is absolutely part of the establishment. He is so much a part of the establishment. That him and Obama were never even close because Obama was farther away from the establishment than Burris was.
How did that happen?
Burris is
what in the 70s and the 80s was, you know, and I hate to say it now, especially we have a very mixed crowd here, but to be honest, he was the machine's token. He was their guy that they could trot out and say, look, we're racially equal. We let anybody run.
Why'd they pick him?
Why did Blagojevich pick him?
No, why did anybody pick Burris? Because
he's a nice guy. He's a genteel, nice guy. He's a genuinely nice guy. And he's also well-spoken. He's a lawyer.
I don't think he's that well-spoken. We only say well spoken though when we're talking.
His lawyers are doing all the talking now.
No. Yeah. Well, he speaks clearly like a lawyer. To me, that's well spoken. But I think he is part of the establishment, and I want to see somebody. I'll tell you what. I hope there's a guy that I'm helping out a little bit, a Republican named David Anderson to run for Emanuel's seat. There's a Democrat named Wheeler. He's an economist he seems like a great guy. I hope it's those two and not any of these other political hacks that are running in this race to fill Rahm Emanuel's seat.
You know Fritchie is?
Yeah, but he's part of the establishment.
I had a long talk with the people at his office a couple of days ago. I'm on the fence about Fritchie. I don't know.
I thought he was blasting Stroger, isn't he?
He's on
the county board, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, and he is blasting Stroger, and he does have a lot of good ideas. But again, Fritchie is the son-in-law of Banks, I think, Alderman Banks, he's either son-in-law or brother-in-law. He's related to the machine. It's like another Blagojevich.
I'm sorry to hear that about Banks. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's part of that whole clan. Same thing with O'Connor. Wheeler's a complete outsider on the Democratic side. There's a couple other ones that I just don't know. I know Wheeler.
If because they're outsider, that's a good thing or not a good thing. I mean, yeah, I know people are like tired of the political machine, but I also want a guy in there that can get some shit done. And you can't get anything done if you're completely outside the machine because you're going to spend your first several years in office getting into the machine.
Yeah, right. But as far when it comes to Congress, when it comes to the Senate, nobody can get anything done in their first term. They have to learn. All freshmen go through the same thing, and it doesn't matter whether you're part of the machine or not. You're still going to go through the Washington freshman thing and learn your job, and then your second term is where you can actually affect change. And it's always been there. That's why people who are in office keep getting elected because nobody wants to go through that growing period.
Yeah, I understand. I agree with you.
Okay, I got another question for you.
Barack got some things accomplished in just a couple of years he was the senator.
Yeah, in the last couple of days, he's done a lot. I didn't want to bring that up to Dave because he'll just go off and freak out screaming, pork, pork, pork.
Hold on. Setting aside
pork is going to keep the country alive over the next couple of years.
Setting aside the particulars of any one bill, the difference between Obama is Obama walked into the Senate as a rock star. I mean, he was, you know.
Deserve that shit.
He is a rock star.
This guy's the smartest guy since Theodore Roosevelt. And if Theodore Roosevelt could be resurrected by the Republicans right now, they would put him in jail for being a radical.
My point though about Barack Obama is that even though I disagree with him on a lot of issues, he was when you talk about his first term and he got a lot accomplished, he was something special. I mean, I always thought Bill Clinton, even though I disagree with him, was a fantastic politician, but he was nothing compared to Barack Obama. Obama was a combination of Bill Clinton on the political side and Martin Luther King on the speaking and eloquent side.
I don't put him up there with Martin Luther King. I put him more across between Kennedy and Reagan.
I don't think Barack was crossing between Kennedy and Reagan.
Yeah, I don't think Obama does not remind me of Martin Luther King, except when he's trying to remind me of Martin Luther King.
I listen to speeches by
Martin
Luther King.
I don't think Barack Obama tries to do anything. He's just a natural born genius.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, when it comes to speaking, yeah, I think you're right, and I think that. If you compare Martin Luther King's speeches and you compare Barack Obama's speeches, Barack Obama is far and away a better. Part of that is he's got a better voice.
He's got a better voice than Martin Luther King. What the fuck is the matter? Let's say somebody's more peaceful than Gandhi. What the hell's your problem?
I'm talking about the sound. The sound of his voice.
He almost sounds like he's from Massachusetts. His voice is flat and clipped. That's why I said Kennedy.
I don't know. I think he's got a better voice than Martin Luther.
What he does better than anybody else is there's nothing in his speech that's extraneous. None of it is bullshit. Not a word of what he says is bullshit.
Well, I don't know about it. I mean, I'm not talking about what he says, because I would disagree with that if you're talking about the content of his speech. I'm talking about his technical skills. His technical skills, I think, are better than Martin Luther King Jr.
I don't know, man.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I disagree with in what he says.
If I'm not mistaken, Martin Luther King was in forensics and college. You know, he was a debater and stuff. I'd have to say he was pretty technically damn good. But he was a preacher, not a lawyer. Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, I'm looking at my Facebook page right now. I've got two messages from a beautiful babe, so I'm going to have to check out. I mean,
all right, hey, thanks a lot for joining.
Hey,
Jim. Hey, Jim, give it the address of your bookstore.
4626 North Lincoln Avenue.
Yay.
That's Ravenswood 626 North Lincoln Avenue. It's right next to the Davis
book.
Theater.
The Beat is Patrolman Randall Jones.
Well, really?
What?
And it's right next to the Davis Theater. It's right south of Lincoln Square, which is a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's
to
a
go.
Great neighborhood.
Yeah, it was so, hey,
exactly.
All right.
Great
have a great day, brother.
Super neighborhood. Right, best luck,
Jim,
guys. Good luck.
Us. All right.
So long.
All right. What do you mean Martin Luther King and Obama are the same?
You hung up. No, I'm talking about, because there's a lot I disagree with Obama.
Well, first of all, you need to talk into your microphone, sir.
I'm sorry.
So why don't you just bring it back a little bit so you can be, we need that deep, rumbly, sonorous kind of cop voice that you're looking for.
All right, there's a lot of things I disagree with on Barack Obama, but I think that from a technical point of view, I think he is our most eloquent speaker since Ronald Reagan. I don't think he is as good. I think he has a better voice than Ronald Reagan, but I don't think he's as good at communicating his ideas as Ronald Reagan was.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not so sure he's as good as Ronald Reagan at being that fireside grandfather. But then again, he's not as old as Reagan.
But that's not his style.
No, it's not his style, and he's not as old as Reagan. But you can't say that at engaging people or whatever, because, dude, man, I mean, come on. Look at the turnout for this guy, you know?
Yeah,
it's gigantic.
Yeah, but, you know...
And you said he's a rock star. That doesn't come from not being engaging.
And I wasn't saying he was a rock star as a pejorative, either.
You're talking about my boy, right?
What I'm saying is that he came in far and away... You know, he had more possibilities to do things when he was a new senator.
Don't forget. Oh, well, I don't know about him being a senator. I'll be honest with you. I am not familiar with the senatorialship. But in terms of coming into the office of president, he came in as a rock star, but please don't forget, he made that.
What do you mean?
He built that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's no doubt, he was a good politician. He also had David Axelrod, who I think is a fantastic politician.
Absolutely. And it's not just about being a politician, man. He embraces every aspect of the role of leadership. He really understands what it is he's supposed to be doing up there.
Well,
you know, he speaks directly to people. He immediately takes responsibility for mistakes, and he's made a couple of huge mistakes with these guys in the financial thing. It's ridiculous and embarrassing, but, you know, what did he do? He didn't have somebody come up and go, blah, blah, blah. He stepped up to himself and said,
I
screwed up.
He has, and I don't think that at any time would George Bush have gotten the same kind of, hey, wow, he admits his mistakes and he moves on. They would have used it against him in a heartbeat.
No, when he did finally admit some mistakes, people said, that's great.
I don't think so. I heard a lot of people saying,
I said it.
He admitted it. See, he admitted it.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's because it took him so long, you know. But now we're looking backwards, you know. You know, I didn't get to ask that guy what his favorite bookstore besides his own was.
Oh, yeah, I didn't get to ask him what his favorite book was.
Do you, you know what? Do you think we could do a book about bookstores?
That'd be kind of cool.
That would be kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
Have it be a tabletop book about bookstores?
Yeah.
Okay, we got to go back and erase that quick so no one takes my
right,
idea.
Yeah.
Right?
What's going on?
So,
a bunch of people surrounding us.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. Something. I don't know if the place is on fire. Man,
right.
I'm really having cigar envy here, man.
Well, that guy really looks like he's enjoying a cigar.
Yeah, he just I've never seen him be, like, drunk on a cigar before, but...
Oh, I have. You know what? I have actually felt that.
Yeah.
Where you feel like...
Euphoria?
You wonder if there's a little bit of wacky...
That's just because you inhaled, man.
All right, so... talk about today? We're going to talk about Valentine's Day. What did you do for Valentine's Day, Chris?
We went to my wife, and my attorney, and I, and two of our friends went to Boca. And
Boca Raton?
No, and I used to live there. Went to Boca and had their special chef's tasting menu, which was basically sex on a plate.
Wow.
He made lobster and Vidalia onion ravioli, and it looked like nipples.
Really?
It was no one at the table caught it. I looked at him, I started cracking up. I was like, this guy's hilarious, man. You know, and I looked at the whole course menu. You know, like, there was a four-course dinner plus dessert, and we got a bottle of wine and everything. It started out with this thing that was cured sashimi tuna, and I realized when he laid it on the plate, it was a kiss, all right, and then the nipples, and then something else, and then we each had a big piece of nice bloody juicy steak or duck. I was like, this dude just served us sex on a plate.
Did you say that to him?
No, well, I wrote an email. I haven't got a response back, but the people I was with were just complaining about how there wasn't much on the. They're complaining about how this super. This guy used to work for Charlie Trotter. Okay, he's world fucking class.
Yeah.
All right. That tuna that we ate had been swimming that morning. All right. And in the ravioli he made by hand back there right before we sat down, and they're complaining how there's not much on the plate. You know, it's $99 bucks each, and
wow.
You know, the food was world fucking class, man. You don't get that anywhere else.
Right, but they wanted more.
Yeah, they came home and raided my fridge and ate half the Chinese leftovers I had. It was ridiculous.
And how many? Who'd you go with?
You don't know. I'm friends from Kildare.
The loud friend or?
Yeah, the loud friend. She doesn't listen to the show, so I can say that. Yeah, the loud friend. I was mad. I was a dick a little bit. I have to admit. While we're there, right? By chance, we got beautiful window seats. At the window is in Lincoln Park on Halsted. You know, and looking across the street at, like, I forget the name, like the Black Duck. Beautiful. It's just perfect Chicago night. And some guy pulls up a huge truck with a trailer right by the window.
Aww.
I'm like, you motherfucker. And so I called the waiter over. I said, listen, man. I said, I don't know how much you can do about this, but I didn't pay all this money and have on Valentine's Day to look at that guy's truck. He goes, it'll only be there a minute. Some dude at that table over there bought his girlfriend an Audi 5000. For Valentine's
Wow.
Day. I was like, holy shit, don't tell my wife. Don't say a fucking thing, man. I didn't get her nothing. She's paying for the dinner. Don't say anything. So I thought we had good wine. You know, it was great. They got on to me because I ordered a bottle of San Pellegrino because I'm a fag. And I thought I was getting one of those cute little San Pellegrino bottles. I got like a bottle this big. Glass. I had to drink the whole thing just so I wouldn't get any shit from people, man. I had to pee for 3 days.
Well,
how about you? What'd you do?
I took my wife to. We decided. There's been several times where we're invited to go to the Redhead Piano Bar.
Yeah.
And we never have gone because, and a couple of times, I mean, twice we've gotten down there, and there was no parking around there, and there was a line out the door.
You got a valet park at another restaurant.
Right. So we decided not to go twice. And she had mentioned that she goes, there's this guy playing there on Saturday night on Valentine's Day, and it was He does Billy Joel stuff. He's supposed to be good. And she's like, you know, I really like to go there.
Man, that piano man.
She's like, I always wanted to go there. We've blown it off twice. And so I said, okay. So what we did was we took the train downtown, and we walked over to the Chicago Chop House, and here would order desserts because we can't afford the dinner at the Chicago Chop House. $69 steaks on Valentine's Day. I'm like, what the fuck?
What kind of, were they hatchet steaks or hanger steaks?
I don't know what kind of steak they were. I was just thinking, no cow was worth that.
Yeah, they
so,
are.
Dinner. So we had hors d'oeuvres. We had some really good lamb. They had a couple of lamb chops, and she had they had these tomatoes with buffalo mozzarella and something else on them.
Nice.
All
mozzarella stuff. And
a couple of really nice martinis. The guy, they made fantastic.
What kind of martinis?
I had regular. She had lemon drop. Lemon drop martini. So
okay.
We went to the Chicago Chop House, and then we walked down to the Redhead Piano Bar, and
my attention's been diverted for
a couple of people, and we were there. There's a Kalamazoo police officer right behind us, and we got to talking, and you know, And I didn't see if I could get in by flashing my badge. There was like, there's only two or three people ahead of me, so I will wait. So we waited, and we got in. We got seats at the bar, and we drank for a while. And we spent quite a bit of money listening to music. You know, met some nice people. We stopped at Zachary's on the way home and ordered a pizza at the bar at Zachary's.
Did they sing at the piano bar?
The guy sang, yeah.
Did you sing along?
No, no, no.
What?
I didn't.
That's what you go there for.
No.
Yeah, it sings together.
Nah, nobody did. This guy was really good.
Oh.
And so we went there. Now, one of the reasons I want to talk about is while we were at the Redhead Piano Bar, I noticed they had all different kinds of whiskey, you know. So I wanted to try something new. And there is a bottle of whiskey that I have been debating buying, but the only reason I want to buy it, pure, I love the label and I love the name. It's called Ardbeg Scotch, and I've never had it. Now,
what's on the label that makes it?
Ah, it's got a horn. It's like an old English horn, you know.
Talk into the microphone.
The name is written in like the old English script. Right. And it looks like it's just a good looking bottle.
So Ardbeg,
yeah. And now I had always planned on going down to that place on the Clark Street where we went with the fish, Duke of Perth. They have a million different kinds of whiskey down there.
Yeah.
And I was going to go down there and try it and see if I liked it before I bought a bottle. We never gotten around to doing that. So I asked the guy, I said, "Do you like scotch?" And so I said, "Listen, I don't want to down this, and I want to make it last. Give it to me with a little bit of ice and a little bit of soda in it." So it was scotch and soda. And I tasted it. It was fantastic. And Annie's like, "What does it taste like?" I said, "Yeah, it tastes like." She said, "Oh, she didn't like it. She said it was like drinking." She said, "That is exactly. It was exactly
that's
right.
Right.
And that's what I like about it.
That's
it's
what
like,
scotch is.
It's like drinking smoke, and
not just smoke. Smoke from dirt.
Yeah, peat and smoke. It was right. Really good. And so I'm gonna go. You know, next time I have a little extra money, I'm gonna go buy a bottle.
Well, we're having a little Glenlivet right now. You know what? It's a Glenlivet glass. I don't know what scotch is because frankly, it doesn't taste like Glenlivet.
Yeah.
So I don't know what kind of scotch.
Well,
we're
gonna have a break in about. We should have a break now.
Well, you know, you know what? Let's take a break. Talk about my new drink. I finally found a new drink. Happy about it. And so we'll go pee and we'll come back and talk.
Well, hang on a second. Talk for a minute while I start the break, though.
Okay. Well, I went from, I was a dirty martini guy for the longest time. For 4 years, I've been drinking dirty martinis. All right? That's my drink. Everywhere I go, that's what I get. I love them, and I make them at home, and they're unfucking believable. They're so dirty, they come with a pair of panties and an apology.
I hate dirty martinis.
Ugh.
God, all right. Well, we're going to take a little break now. We'll talk about that a little more after the break.
David Christian,
live in the cigar camp.
Fucking bumper. Ha, ha, ha.
That metal is in your heart, then you can start to be a fritter. Hey, dude, don't be fucking afraid. No!
The American Southern Gentlemen's Anti-Defamation Association and WJJG would like to reassure listeners of the Dave and Chris Show that the previous comment by Dave is not representative of WJJG's position regarding Americans from the Southern states, nor is it endorsed by the ASGAA. WJJG respects listeners from south of the Mason-Dixon line and their sister wives. It would be nice if they could stop eating grits for just a split second and put down this, "Hey, who wrote this crap? Kill the banjo, Dave!"
Advertising a small business can seem an insurmountable task. All television and most radio shows charge too much for the average small business owner to be able to afford. However, it's important to get information about your business to your potential customers. Maybe we can help. The Dave and Chris Show is currently looking for advertisers for their Friday night show on WJJG. WJJG covers Cook, Lake, and DuPage counties and has potentially 5,000 to 10,000 listeners every hour. The Dave and Chris Show broadcasts on busy Friday night. Call 773-297-9637. 877 for information on our affordable rates. That's 773-297-9637.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
What?
He said I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me, when a moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options, and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full name Blue Manchu, and I looked deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. He said, I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't, and I became a friend a friend would like to have. And all of a sudden going fishing wasn't such an imposition, and I went 3 times that year I lost my dad. Well, I finally read the good book, and I took a good long hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. And then I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full name Fu Manchu, and I looked deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like die. Like tomorrow was a gift, and you got eternity. Think about what you do with it. What did you do with it? What did I do with it? What would I do with it? Skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds. Like you were dying.
All right, welcome back. Right.
Listen to the Dave and Chris Show.
I know I'm about to alienate all of my friends, but I think we should go to war with Mexico.
What about Canada?
No, Canada's okay. It's just really like Michigan, only bigger. But Mexico's a problem.
The Dave and Chris Show, Fridays at WJJG, AM
1530. You're a big cop.
You're really funny. Really funny.
What do you mean I'm funny? It's funny, you know. It's a good story. It's funny. You're a funny guy.
You mean the way I talk?
What? It's just, you know, you're just funny. It's funny, you know, the way you tell the story and everything.
Funny how? I mean, what's funny about it?
Tommy, no, you got it all wrong.
Anthony. He's a big boy. He knows what he said. What'd you say?
You're right.
Funny how?
It's
what?
Just... You know, you're funny.
You mean,
so?
Let me understand this, because maybe it's me, I'm a little fucked up, maybe. But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh, I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
I'm not just... You know how you tell a story, what?
No, I don't know, you said it. How do I know? You said I'm funny. How the fuck am I funny? What the fuck is so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's funny.
All right, we're back to David Chris Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Battle of the Bulge right here.
Yeah.
I think you're winning, actually.
Hey, man. Hey,
so you had a head start.
No,
wait, I had a head start.
Yeah, you had a head start.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, speaking of that, well, we're going to go back to talking about...
We were talking about liquor, and I don't think we should change subjects because liquor's the best thing in the world to talk about.
Especially not to talk about hearts.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that. Fuck that. I don't want to know. So, no, you know, I was a dirty martini guy, and now I have a new drink. I started drinking old fashions made with Jim Beam rye.
Really?
It is so good, man.
Well, I thought old fashions had fruit in them.
The way you make an old fashioned is you take a tumbler, and you take bitters and sugar and a lemon slice, and you muddle them in the bottom. You just pound them gently into a pulp. And then you fill it with ice and fill it with rye whiskey. And a little bit of, what's that shit you put in martinis? Vermouth, sweet vermouth.
Really?
Yeah, it's
awesome. You know, that sounds like something my wife likes. She likes Jim Beam.
It's good, man. Well, it's rye, and I don't know what the difference... I think rye is different because it's charcoal filtered, so it's a little bit closer to scotch than regular whiskey.
Well, no, having watched the History Channel's History of Distilleries...
It's a Dave History Channel moment.
Yes, yes. All American bourbon... Well, to be bourbon, it has to be charcoal, stored in a charcoal cask.
Well, what makes it rye?
I don't know. I don't know what the difference...
We need an expert.
Is there an expert on whiskey here?
I'm sure...
Because Jordy seems to know a lot about
it. Larry would be... He would at least pretend to be an expert, and we wouldn't know the difference.
Right. Yeah,
so.
I don't know what the difference is between rye. I know... To be bourbon, it has to be made in America, and it has to be made in a charcoal cask.
Even though the word bourbon refers to a place in France.
Yeah, I don't know why that is, but...
Because they settled in fucking Kentucky.
No, I don't know why it's called bourbon.
I don't either, but I'll tell you, man, it's my new favorite drink. It's delicious, and it makes me jolly.
Well, we should try it.
Dirty martinis make me somber, but rye whiskey... makes me jolly. Is that somebody on our chat room there? Dave's making love to his microphone.
No, somebody's in the chat room. Hey, and by the way, if you want to call in, 6 area code.
Yeah, the chat room's too far away for us. Yeah. We'd have to lean forward in our chair and everything, and we're just not going to do that.
The area code 646-929-0423.
Principally, we're looking for naked women to call us.
We can read what you say, but we're not going to respond.
Yeah, I can't read what they're saying from here. It looks like someone named Gwen Plath.
No,
guest. Something.
Guest.
Oh, guest. Okay. Yeah. It says my birthday is today?
No. My new display name is Guest.
Okay,
I don't know,
whatever, man.
Yeah.
Woo! Okay.
All right.
Well, if you are listening and you're typing in our chat, and we just fucking call us, please. 646-929-0423. It's a U.S. call. You're not going to get hit with any charge.
Or press the push-to-talk button.
Or press the push-to-talk button, you fucking moron.
Hey, don't curse at our listeners.
Okay, I'm sorry. I take that back. You're probably not a moron. So.
Or at least not as much as us.
Yeah, good. There you go.
All right, hey, can we talk about the hearts now?
Okay. Let's talk about our hearts.
There's a guy at work today, and I swear it's making me feel bad just because of what this guy is going through. He went for our union put together health screenings and put it in the newsletter. You can go for this heart scan and all this. So this guy got talked into going to a heart scan.
What the hell is a heart scan?
It's like an MRI.
Like an MRI? Okay.
It's like an MRI of your heart, but they take pictures of your heart, and it's really clear and everything. And so he went for his heart scan, and it was yesterday afternoon after work. He told me he was going after work. And he goes after work, and he comes in this morning and says, yeah, they told me that I have 50% blockage in one artery and 90% blockage in another.
Jesus,
he's never had
Christ.
A symptom. He's never had a
Jesus
symptom.
Jesus Christ.
So he goes.
What do you eat, bacon lard for breakfast?
I'll have a bacon lard martini with a bacon and a side of bacon, and can have some bacon with that, please. And that brings us
and a donut.
Let's talk about our next topic, which is going to be the bacon explosion.
Woohoo!
But anyway, so he tells us this at work today. I'm like, holy shit, you got to go to see your doctor. He goes, I got a 2:00 appointment. I go, well, you want to go home and rest? He's like, no. Yeah, I know. What am I going to do? I'm just going to sit there and get worried about
you
it.
You
got to
weird you out there. You got to hear that guy and look at him and go, never a symptom. He's smaller than I am. You know, what the hell?
Right.
Maybe I should get a heart scan. So, Dave, did you get a heart scan?
I made an appointment for Tuesday. But
Yeah, but do you really want to know?
Yeah, because you can fix. The heart you can fix. Until you have a heart attack.
Get a plunger, and you go in there.
They put stents in or something. I don't
know.
Hey, what's funny, though, is this guy's the biggest ball buster in the world. And the doctor that did the heart scan, okay, let me put it. Let me draw a picture for you. You go to have this heart scan. It's at a private company that does the heart scan. If you have to go back and see your own doctor to take care of it. They don't take care of anything. All they do is tell you what's wrong, and then you go to your doctor to figure out what to do about it. Well, the guy who did the heart scan calls him up today to make sure he understands how serious it is and to check on him because he's like, you know, you have a ticking time bomb in your chest. And plus, we're going to get snow tonight in Chicago. The doctor's like, don't shovel any snow.
Oh, wow.
I mean, and this guy's the biggest ball buster in the world. Just rub your finger on that.
He's probably out there. Okay, Dave. People at home don't know what you're talking about, okay? They don't know you mean the computer.
Hey,
I think you're reaching over and giving me a hand job.
So the doctor asks me how he's doing it and makes sure he understands how serious it is. Go see his doctor. And you hear this guy who's the biggest ball buster go, yes, doctor, yes. And he's really. I never heard you sound cowed by anything. And then we had this other guy.
Well, death is the ultimate.
We had this other guy, Dick Curry. He's he's a year away from retirement. One of these big, giant old timers with a huge voice and, you know, a lot of attitude. He comes up and goes, I had a heart attack sitting in that very chair where you're sitting.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, what the hell is the matter with you? You're putting stress on him, you know? His ex-girlfriend comes in and say, oh.
She bring him a bucket of lard?
No, she brought him chocolates. And I'm like,
Oh my fucking God.
This guy's going to have a heart attack right here in front of me. And I told him, I said, I'm not doing any mouth-to-mouth.
That's right. Man, if I was saying maybe like no sex, no nothing, no porn.
Oh, yes.
Nothing.
And he was telling us just last week.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, oh man. I'm not going to talk. About that.
I wish I could get my hands on some. I'm just kind of curious about what happens, man.
I've slipped it in.
Really?
It's an interesting time after that, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I like pranks like that.
Oh, my God.
During the break, I went to the bathroom, and the only bathroom, so I put some of that liquid. So when they sit down.
You're an asshole.
I did not do that.
It made me wonder, because I went in right after you, and I had to sit down. I was like, wow, the bitches around here are really sloppy, man.
No, I didn't do that. I'm just kidding. So, yeah. I made doctor. I started feeling bad, but my ears are kind of stuffy, and I got like a ringing. I'm getting a cold. But I, you know, I'm all right away doing the hypochondriac, going, "Oh my
God,
do I feel chest pains?"
I want to get a defibrillator built in, you know, and like it's like a rip cord. So if I start to have, I'm going, "Oh my God!" And I'm like, "Yeah, you know."
Right. Well, see, the worst thing is I actually saw somebody die of a heart attack. You know.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. You just stood there, huh? No, no. We did CPR and brought him back. And when the ambulance got there, he was alive when he got in the ambulance, but they took him to the hospital. He died later. He's a great guy. What was terrible about it was a police funk that we were having for all the kids.
Ooh.
And leading the kids and all the little kids' songs and everything and right in frontis on the floor. It was,
oh my God!
With Terry Hillard, it was the superintendent of police at that time. It was his first day on the job, and he was there performing. He was trying to.
Oh man! I hope nobody ever kicks in front of me because I think I just imagine that I question everything I do so much that I would never actually get to the part where I'm doing CPR because I'd be asking so many questions of myself. You know, like right way is this. I'd be the guy that was standing there not doing anything, and that cool Scottish guy would come out of the way and go, "That's how it's done. That's how you do things."
You just wanted to have invisible.
Dude, can you? You know what? We have to so we can have an accent. Accents all day long. I was looking, and I thought you were beautiful. Or better yet, they just say, "Hey, how?" You know,
I do notice that when this guy goes in and you know, and they're all sitting around, everybody giggles.
Nine people reach for it. Hey, guys could walk in and use the worst picket line. They could go, "Hey, a beautiful body, would you hold it against me?" And then when you go, they just rip their shirts off and throw themselves at him, you know? I don't understand it. My dog hears an accent. The guy was attacked with an ice pick.
Hey,
and she goes, "God, he's hot."
You know, there's a guy who listens to our show. He's a friend of mine from the Marine Corps, or when I was in the Marine Corps, and he was living. And Kerry Carew, he listens to the show. He's now a commander of police in Hong Kong.
Cool.
Yeah, and he.
So we got to play.
Yeah, I told my wife when I hooked up with him on Facebook. I haven't talked to him in 15 years.
I love Facebook.
Yeah. So he, but he's been listening to the show the last couple of weeks, so he'll probably listen to this. And I remember when I was 18, 19 years old, and I was stationed in Bermuda, and I went with him to bars, and just pick up the girls that he didn't pick up, the ones he left behind.
Would be your movie, Left Behind.
Yeah, and he was the British Marine guy, the right Marine guy, and we, you know. That
oh, he was a Brit?
No, yeah, he's from, yeah, from
right. Weymouth. And could perhaps I could bend you over.
From Weymouth. That was a resort, so he was, that's where he was living there. But
I was in England, and I was in let's see, it's right outside of London. I forgot what it's called. Luton. I was in Luton, and I stayed with a family. The guy was an opodiatrist, who was a foot doctor, and my wife did, except she tanned a lot. And like every day that was sunny, it was just like here in Chicago. You know, when there's a sunny day in Chicago, all your neighbors are naked. You know, out in the backyard.
Yeah.
You know, like fucking people left their pages laying out there or something. There's a huge in the goddamn thing. Just pull that table closer. I would do it, but I'm lazy. And
no, actually, to the first question that the Easter party that collapsed. That my wife was
somebody's
this.
Correcting you.
Yeah, she tried to correct me, but I'm right. But it was my wife was sending me a message that my nephew hockey championship.
You have a great wife. She listens to your radio show. She talks to you. She takes care of the kids and stuff. You know what my wife does?
Works.
I don't know.
She should call it.
Never home. She's in D.C. right now.
You know what? You know what? She works. If you ask your kids what they would say, what does your wife do at work? What do you think they'd say?
She works.
When somebody asks my kids what I do at work, they go, "Well, he goes to lunch."
Well, they're taking that from what you did in school.
And I said, "Hey, wait. In the morning, deciding where to go to lunch. Then we go to lunch."
That's an arduous day, man.
And then
the second half of the day you spend is watching cartoons.
Where we're
going to
drink after work. Yeah.
That's right. I tell you, I have to say that sometimes I miss having a place to go to work.
Yeah.
Because there's something to that, you know. Like today, I was busting my hump working all day, you know, doing this website for a guy, and You know, and it's like, because I know what I'm doing, it's not hard, but it's tedious, and little mistakes can make you really crazy and stuff. And, you know, and I was thinking, if this is at work, I could just say, you know, fuck it, I'm going to go home. But I'm home. So all I can do is say, fuck it, I'm going to go to work. But I don't have a job.
Yeah.
My Christmas party was just me.
You need an office. Yeah, you're the only one sexually harassing yourself?
I know, and it's all day, right? It's all day. I was putting my hand on my own ass, chasing myself around the desk. It's terrible. So, bacon explosion.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I tried to get this. I think it's a lady that does a website called baconjew.blogspot.com. All right, and she's a Jewish woman that eats bacon. And so she started this blog, and it's all about bacon. Now, I didn't realize there was such a segment of society that was so into bacon.
I'm telling you, bacon is the new Facebook.
There's actually a 1935 North Damon. I can't remember the name of the bar, but I remember the address. 1935 North Damon, and on Monday nights they have an all-you-can-eat bacon night. And you can go there and you order your beers and you order a plate of bacon and they bring it out to you and you just keep eating bacon. But a few weeks ago I saw on a website a recipe for what's called the bacon explosion. And you take 2 pounds of thick cut bacon, you weave it into a basket weave. What?
Listening to you, it's fascinating. Bacon basket weave.
Yeah, you put some.
For those of you who don't know what a basket weave is, it's like a basket and it's woven.
Yeah. And you put some nice dry rub on there. And then you put loose Italian sausage. And you smear it all on there so it's covering the whole bacon. You roll it all up. And you cook it on the grill.
I still think you should put boiled egg, hard-boiled eggs in
there. I did. You're right. I hard-boiled eggs, yeah.
So it's like a Scotch egg bacon explosion.
Right.
God,
cook it on the grill, and then you put barbecue sauce. Now, at this baconjew.blogspot.com, what they did was, they went one step further, and they made the bacon explosion.
Bacon is the new Facebook. Tim Bernardi from Orlando, Florida, is logged onto our chat room, and it says he just registered trademark rights to the phrase "Bacon is the new Facebook." Say it again, and you'll say, "Hey, I got news for you, Tim. My wife's a fucking IP lawyer. Screw you. All right, go back. What's wrong with your Mickey Mouse views here, pal? All right, his wife plays Mickey Mouse at Disney."
Oh, is that? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, that's a whole other subject.
Get him on to talk about that.
So, Bacon Jew, what they did was you make the bacon explosion, and then you take it and you...
There's a problem with the chat room. It keeps diverting my attention, all right? Because people are saying funny shit in the chat room, and I can't pay attention to what you're saying, even though everything you say is about bacon, which means I should be riveted, okay? Because bacon is the new Facebook. Okay, so what did you do? How was the bacon explosion?
Oh, the kids loved it. Oh, man. It was fantastic.
You know, I there's nothing like bacon to get your kids awake on a fucking Saturday morning.
Oh, no,
you know?
The smell of bacon.
You start, people you don't know will show up at your house.
Wait, let me finish on the bacon. Okay. Now, this baconjew.com, they took it, and what they did was...
Bacon is your Facebook.
They took the crescent rolls, those ones that come in the thing where they explode. You lay out all the crescent rolls and mash them together.
I don't know where this is going, but I like it.
You put a layer of hard-boiled eggs on the crescent rolls, and then mozzarella cheese. Wrap the entire bacon explosion up
in
that.
And he says, and then you go get a heart scan.
and then you cook it, and it's called Bacon Explosion Wellington.
Ah, that's awesome.
I want to make it.
You know what?
Next
week here at Cigar King, Bacon
you
Wellington.
You want to go here or you want to go to Zach?
I like it here.
All right.
This is cool. All right. Eat bacon and drink scotch at the same time.
So next week, we're gonna put together a Bacon Explosion Wellington and have it right here at the Cigar King.
I want written by Tim to call in at 646-929-0423. Now,
heart skip. My wife called me today, and I told her this whole story.
Yeah.
And she goes, really? And I said, yeah, actually, it's making me kind of worried. She goes, what are you eating right now? I said, M&M.
Hey, listen, when I was in Orlando, and I was driving out to go, one of my favorite restaurants on earth, it's actually a little family-owned place on the east side of Orlando called Olympia, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And It's Greek family. It's Greek food. They do the dancing, everything like that. All right, awesome Greek food. It was my first introduction to Greek food. guys in Orlando. And so we're going to leave the Asian and drive out there, pick up some friends and drive out there and have dinner. Halfway there, I had a blood vessel burst in my leg, right? Now, I didn't know that's what happened. All I know is suddenly it was like my inner thigh was giving birth to a grapefruit, okay? And it was freaking me out. And I spent the night there. And let me tell you something. Orlando is depressed economically. They need a fucking bailout, okay? Mm-hmm. It is bad. In Orlando goes directly to Disney, every dime.
Yeah.
And the rest of it looks, it's all for sale. Whole street, all my old streets were for sale signs. It was Opa! It was Opa. I don't know. I'm driving through there. I have this problem. I go to the ER because I'm terrified. Because, you know, you and I are getting on in age now. We're, what, 40?
Yeah, I'll be 41 next month. Yeah.
And I'm 44. And so, you know, now anything that happens, we think that's our day. This is so I'm laying in there. And the rest, no one has a dime. But it is the most beautiful hospital in the world. It was beautiful. They took such care of me. They didn't do warm.
Luther General did that when last time I was in the hospital.
They brought me a warm fucking blanket, all right?
That's
they kept
nice.
Coming in and giving me hands, all right? Like, all the doctors on request, all the women doctors were nude. It was incredible,
they were
man.
Dressed up in Disney characters.
Awesome.
Hey, the last time I was in the hospital, they did that too. You want to hear about this? Why I was...
Wait, I got to send something out. I'll get you on the air in a moment. But please understand that when you talk to us live, because of the... the bugs and stuff and the system, and because everything's going through literally everything in London and New York before it comes to you. There's a so if some things might sound weird, so we're not going to talk for a minute, and then just like it's a 1940 front line, all right? We might.
That's the only problem with this.
Somebody spawned that. Room, and I don't know the bath is, but I'm going to go with no.
I want to know if you can describe what a
I don't know what a spong is. Is
oh, spong? What is sponge bath? Did they give you sponge baths at the hotel?
It's a spong. It doesn't say sponge. It's a spong.
Left
an
E off.
All right.
You
whatever.
Got the hardest letter to get right. Hey, you want to hear why I was in the hospital last time? It was Christmas Eve last year.
I don't remember that.
Well,
why?
It was actually the...
Couldn't get out of your Santa Claus?
The 23rd. No. It was
you're saying.
My wife took us to a play at a church called Willow Creek.
Okay.
And our windshield wiper fluid wasn't working quite. So what she did was
reaching out the window trying to fix it.
Yeah. She brought a bottle and she filled it with wiper fluid, don't dump it on the windshield and it was
another invention. You know, that was not her fault.
It was a water bottle. like water. And then she left.
You know, Dave, water's not actually blue,
yeah.
Okay?
By the time I got in the car, it was dark, and I went to pick up my son to go see a movie. And he brought some pizza with him. I grabbed the water bottle, and I downed half of it while I'm trying to, get the pizza. And immediately knew.
Did you actually swallow any of it?
I did swallow.
Oh, God. I'm held to say heavens to Betsy.
Yeah. My son was hysterical with laughter. I was pulling over immediately.
The point.
Yeah. I pulled over and I forced myself to vomit right there on Waukegan and Rocky Avenue, whoever it was. And I went to the movie. I didn't see the movie. I come home and one of my wife's friends is there and she goes, oh, yeah, my husband did it. They told me to go right to the hospital. It was that, there's something weird in that windshield.
Ammonia.
No, something else.
New Facebook.
I called poison control. They're like, get to the hospital right away. I'm like, oh, no, I'm scared. I go to the hospital.
And then they made you throw up again?
They took blood all night long.
Oh, God, I fucking hospital, man. I hate it
when
they gave
anything. Me warm blankets, too. No hand jobs.
Well, you got to go to Florida for that, you know?
Yeah, but that was right after my wife found out how much life insurance I have. So I was a little...
You know, I had first marriage and things like that. You know, I was a little concerned lately when my wife started making me go through all the life insurance rigmarole because there was always this weird disease involved. Hang on, we have a caller. This is from Florida. Let me see if I can do this right. Remember, there's a delay. Hello, you're on the air with Dave and Chris.
You know, I was sitting around watching the Tom Hanks DVD of John Adams, and I was looking at a kind of short, doughy guy who wore a wig, and I thought, oh, darn, Chris's show is on. I got to get on the air.
Are you saying I look like the guy from that
no,
time?
I'm saying you're the 21st century John Adams. That's what I'm saying, Chris.
I'm a cantankerous, curmudgeon guy that doesn't get along with anybody but's always right. I'll take that.
Well, there you go. There you go. I can't
give me a country while I live.
Oh, my gosh. Chris, it's Tim. How are you?
I'm great. Dave, this is Tim. Tim, meet Dave.
It's really Mickey Mouse?
Well, I can't answer that. I got to plead the fifth on that one. But I just want to know about the grapefruit on Chris's thigh. Did that happen before or after we saw each other down here, pal?
It was the same day.
Really?
After I saw you that day. Yeah, after I saw you, wherever the hell that was.
This is the most amazing physical effect I've had on another person.
Especially on a man. You know, I don't even remember you touching my inner thigh, but there it was, man. You know, it was like I got into the car at the Polynesian. I was driving down I-4. I started feeling uncomfortable. Finally, I had to pull over and get out and actually kind of reach down and check around and find out what the fuck was going on. And, you know, my kids are cracking up and everything.
You know, isn't it amazing the kids laugh at you?
Go ahead, Tim.
And for the folks listening, when Chris said the word Polynesian, he's talking about the Polynesian Village Resort down here at beautiful Orlando, Florida, Walt Disney World.
Oh,
please travel here as soon as possible. The economy down here could certainly use it. Thank you.
Tim, I knew Tim in college, and Tim had one of the greatest jobs in the world. Tim was one of the guys on the team as a Jungle Cruise captain. Throw down on some Jungle Cruise shit, Tim.
Some Jungle Cruise shit? I don't know. I mean, my favorite Jungle Cruise stuff in the world right now is when the Jungle Cruise skipper tells a lame joke and nobody laughs, and he looks around the boat and says to the kids, stay in school. That's what I...
Hey, I got a question for you. Now, I know you can't answer. You're pleading the fifth on whether you know anybody who is Mickey Mouse, but if you did know a woman who played Mickey Mouse, would she have had while you were making Whoopee there?
Sweet for me, baby. Here. Is that what you're asking? You know something that you know? It's not that question that actually should raise eyebrows. It's the frequency that I get asked that question that should raise eyebrows. there was a great Montreal comic who did a bit where he said the great thing about the internet is no matter what type of sick sexual perversity you have, if you go on the internet, you'll find out there's millions out there exactly like you. He gives the example, if you type into the internet, people who like to have sex with goats on fire, the internet fires back the question, specify type of goat.
Sex with goats on fire. Holy crap, that beats my albino Russian contortionist porn by a mile, man.
Yeah, and along with the bacon thing, Chris, I've just now trademarked sex with goats on fire, so don't even touch it.
I think you should start a heavy metal band called Sex with Goats on Fire, man. I think that's outstanding.
I've just done that on Rock Band here on my PlayStation. But in any case, I've got a jet here real quick, but I wanted to call in and say I'm now going to be frequent listener and hopefully frequent visitor. Hope everything's good up there in Skokie. And, you know, keep it up, boys.
Dude, we're sitting in a...
Fantastic. And let's make sure that everybody else tunes into Everyday Fiction on February 26th when Chris's work drops. That's very important.
Listen to that. Listen to that. My buddy's promoing my shit, man. That's awesome. That's
great.
Him.
You are my brother, friend.
Ladies. All right, man. You have a great day.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks,
buds. You know what? You think of me. Let's get that same question a lot.
You know, it's just like admitting you're from Alabama. If he says, yeah, my wife plays Mickey Mouse, the first thing everybody does is they get that glassy look in her eye and they go, she's ever bring it home? And if I say to somebody, where are you from? Alabama. You ever fuck your sister? I mean, what the hell, man? What is that shit?
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know. A lot of great things come out of Alabama.
I mean, don't fucking start with me, Dave.
I'm just saying.
I swear to God, man.
I'm just saying, anywhere else it would have been called a
son of a bitch.
You know, police officer talking about the handcuff question. You know, they use handcuffs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
A lot of, I have some fur lined ones. Yeah.
You know, fur pinch out of it, you know? The whole idea is a little pinch right there.
You know, I love that.
Did you ever bring the taser home?
No, that'd be fun.
Use the right moment?
No, that'd be fun to use on my kid.
Oh, that's true. It's a disciplinary device.
Right. We don't have to worry about holding back video games if you could just give him a ride on the Lightning for...
You know, I have to say, I my son has never been so illiterate as since his Xbox is broken. Suddenly he's reading, he's getting work done around the house, you know, he's sleeping more. He's losing weight. It's only been 2 days.
I think we ought to get rid of that, our Xbox.
So. Oh, man, that is... on the one hand, it's the coolest fucking day. And when I played Civilization, and I put number two in my life.
How do you win?
If you finger while you're drinking, we take over the world, dude. You take over the whole world. It's awesome. And but my son traded in when I wasn't looking.
Fucker. I got a poker game, but I don't even play that very often.
See, poker on the Xbox is it's not really taking advantage of the incredible technology that you have at your fingertips.
No,
when we're really old, the cool thing is virtual living rooms, our game system will be the game. It'll be like the Star Trek.
Yeah.
That's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
No, yeah, that's going to happen someday. I hope so, because I think that's really cool.
There's scaled-down versions of that now, but they're just not. So if we can combine the taser with the video game remote somehow, I think that's a great idea. That would be your wife, Annie.
Yeah.
I think it's a great idea. If the kids are being too loud on TV, you just hit a button on your TV remote and they get tased.
Well, you know, it's the same concept you have when you're training a dog and you put one of those collars on them.
My wife made me take those off our kids after like 3. They couldn't talk.
When you say, hey, it's time, you have 5 minutes left on the Xbox, and when that 5 minutes is up, they start getting tased.
Yeah.
And then it happens every 30 seconds until they quit. And then, you know, after about 2 minutes, it goes every 10 seconds.
So I'm cooking this week, man. Man, I'm cooking yesterday and homemade fries. Oh, my God, dude. Let me
I
tell
love
you.
Making homemade fries.
I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge foodie freak. And I'm a fan of I'm the guy that does No Reservations. And signed, hell yeah. And so he talks in there in his book how to fucking make fries, which is the title of his article, that can make fries. Okay? And first of all, you need to go down to Chinatown and get yourself a lot of fucking duck fat. Okay? Just like at Hot Dogs, you need a bucket of duck fat.
Will they give it?
No, you have to buy it.
You buy it?
Yeah, it's expensive. So, but anyway, I had some act lard, and I don't know what this means, but I just wrote Pavlov. Does that mean she's drooling? I don't know. So take the fries, boil them, cook them. You flash cook them in the oil and set them aside and let them chill. Then you cook them. Dude, my kids could not stop eating. They were just nonstop eating machines, man.
So, in the oil? Oil to me means
you put them in oil. You cook them for first, and they get all golden, and you take them out, and you let them cool down, and then you cook the same oil, and then it's like McDonald's. And I think I'm talking about gay, but tomorrow, oxtail soup.
Yeah, you made that before.
And then Sunday.
Well, I made meatloaf the other day, and whenever I make meatloaf, Annie thinks this is funny. I never make it the same way twice.
Wrong. Is this your cigar? What the fuck do you do when you smoke a cigar?
Nothing. It came apart. It was
Jesus Christ, man. What the hell happened to that thing?
So last time I let you pick out a cigar?
Well, you said JFR. That's fucking awful.
No, but so I never make meatloaf the same way twice. And I take meat, eggs. I always, other than that, it's whatever in the fridge. I just, you know, troll through, dump stuff in, dump there. The last year or so, I've been always putting in, trying to figure out a way to suck the oil so that the...
You want to let it cool first.
Well, yeah, you know, I don't mean that. But, you know, pan with bread so it soaks up all the fat and cut it out. That's
kind of good.
Then I started putting right in there rice-a-roni, where you just put it right in the meat and soak. And this last, she goes, what was in it this time? I said, well, I put some barbecue sauce, a little spaghetti sauce. And she goes, it was kind of, I also ground up Smart Start cereal. I mixed that in there so that it would soak up. You know, it would kind of bulk it up and stuff. And she goes, wow, that's really healthy. I go,
I try to put that chocolate cereal in pancakes one time. I don't recommend that. It doesn't work very well. The other thing I'm making this weekend is homemade spaghetti.
Oh, I love
the sauce, the pasta, everything.
Machine for a gift, and I have a different pop you buy in the store. I still haven't had it in years.
It's so easy to make. It is so, oh my God! You can. You don't even need a bowl. You do it on the counter. You know, but here's the trick, man. You got to go to a really hardcore Italian place and get this thing that looks like a huge tomato slicer. It's got a bunch of wire, and you roll out your dough when you're all done making it until it's really thin, and you put it on the wire and you roll it one time, and the wires cut it into linguine. It's perfect, man. It's awesome.
Really?
So yeah, that's all the shit I'm doing this weekend.
So you have one of those, huh?
No, I got to go find one somewhere because they're way cheaper than a pasta machine.
Well, yeah, you know.
Now ravioli's way fucking easy to make.
Well, yeah, because you just cut them in the square.
Make a huge. Yeah, yeah. So.
Well, we were at.
We're talking about food. What the fuck is the matter with
Yeah. Talking about sports. And, yeah.
Well, I would love to talk about sports, but I don't understand sports, so
yeah.
I can't.
And there's no sports on this time of year.
Yeah.
Well, what is it? The Cubs are playing Cuba spring training. I like to see that.
What fucking ever, man.
You know, the Cubs tickets went on sale today. I tried to get on to see if I can get some White Sox tickets and you know Cubs versus White Sox and.
Do you like a Cubs game better or a White Sox game better?
I like Cubs games better. Yeah. I grew up by Wrigley Field.
Yeah, I know.
Chris and Dave.
Terry Lozier.
Hey,
wait.
Drunk
Larry.
Again, as always.
Hey, ask Larry about what were we gonna ask Larry about?
All right, Larry, what is the difference between regular whiskey and rye whiskey?
I haven't a clue.
Larry, fucking hell. I made this whole thing about it. I at least make up an answer. God, way to go. Fucker. Larry Lozier, God damn it. You're supposed to at least make up it. Let's try this again. Hi, Larry. What's the difference between regular Jim Beam and Jim Beam rye whiskey?
I believe one is aged longer and with a more fuller body with larger fruiting aroma.
Well done. Thank you.
By the way, what the fuck did I just say?
I don't know. We're up in that. Larry Lozier, cigar expert and gadfly. I think we have to take a break because my cigar broke.
Oh, okay. Just hit break two on that.
But I got to do work. All right. Thank you for listening to Dave and Chris Show. We're going to go take a break right now.
No, not there.
What?
In the middle.
What, here?
Yeah. Right. Look for the file that says break two.
I don't see anything, man.
Just scroll down, man.
Why isn't it at the top? Why can't I play Alabama? Can I play Are You Angry Now? Break two? All right, here we go. Do I hit this button?
Yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we might go on break right now. I don't know.
This is a Dave and Chris Show. This is a Dave and Chris Show. And tonight we're live on Blog Talk Radio at Art.
Show is the best show on JJG.
You in the robes, put down the weapon of mass destruction and get on the ground. You're under arrest.
You can't handle the truth.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
We've reached the Coffin Brothers mortuary. We are deeply sorry we are unable to come to the phone right now, but if you leave your name and number, we'll get back to you as soon as is humanly possible.
One, two, three, four.
And his hand fell behind him as his arm had reached around. Oh, and she looked at the window, and she watched the shade go down. It was a private conversation, no one heard her say. That man she left behind her was 2,000 miles away. The singing boy picked up that fiddle, ooh, and play that steel guitar. Ooh, and find yourself a lady, ooh, and dance right where you are. Hey, hey. It was a lonely girl from nowhere with a smile all sweet with pain. No, and she never stopped to wonder who, if she'd see him again. It was a private conversation, no one heard her say. That man that she was looking for was on that 20 streets away. That singing boy took up that fiddle, who would play that steel guitar. Who would find yourself a lady, who would dance right where you are. Came walking in, no, and he never stopped to wonder who, if he'd see her again. It was a private conversation, no one heard him say. That girl he left behind was 2,000 miles away. She sang, boy, pick up that fiddle, go and play that steel guitar, go and find yourself a lady. That's where you are.
You ever notice how the neighborhood bar is all but lost to Chicago? A place for a quiet drink with people just like you, where you can get to know the bartender, where you can have a conversation without screaming over loud music, where the drinks are not priced at the ridiculous downtown prices? Bill's Pub is all of those things. Located on the northwest side of Chicago, on Pulaski just north of Irving, Bill and Diane have captured that neighborhood bar feel. Go see Bill and Diane at Bill's Pub at 4104 North Pulaski, or visit www.billspub.com for more information.
Listen to the Dave and Chris Show.
Homeschooling in Alabama?
Yeah, it's huge in Alabama.
Really?
Yeah.
Out on the farms. That way you don't have to bite as
all right, here we go. As president of the Southern Gentlemen's Anti-Defamation League, I take umbrage at your remark, Dave.
The Dave and Chris Show, Fridays on WJJG, AM 1530.
Well, I believe in the soul. The cock, the pussy, the small of a woman's back, the hanging curveball, high fiber, good scotch, but the novels of Susan Sontag are self-indulgent, overrated crap. I believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I believe there ought to be a constitutional amendment outlawing AstroTurf and the designated hitter. I believe in the sweet spot, softcore pornography, opening your presents Christmas morning rather than Christmas Eve, and I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days. Good night.
Where's your killer instinct, son? You gotta get angry. You gotta get mean. That's the only way you can play.
Well, I guess I'm not really an angry person.
Are you angry now?
Advertising a small business can seem an insurmountable task. All television and most radio shows charge too much for the average small business owner to be able to afford. However, it's important to get information about your business to your potential customers. Maybe we can help. The Dave and Chris Show is currently looking for advertisers for the Friday night show on WJJG. WJJG covers Cook, Lake, and DuPage counties, and has potentially 5,000 to 10,000 listeners every hour. The Dave and Chris Show broadcasts on busy Friday night. Call 773-297-9637 for information on our affordable rates. It's 773-297-9637.
All right, welcome back to the Dave and Chris Show. We have from Skokie, Illinois, from the Cigar King.
You know, listening to that sponsorship ad that my son read when we were on WJJ. What is little blue
change?
Not dad. Now he's leaving me evil messages.
You're
on my
dick, dad. Shut up.
My screensaver is now how evil I am.
You know what? I'm always glad my phone broke because my son used to change the shit so much. He'd take pictures of, like, his toes and put them on as my background and stuff, you know? I have a cigar check. I have now a Don Pepin Garcia, the cigar that actually made the cigar aficionado, the Fumali here at the Cigar King, actually, like, got about this. And two other guys, and they actually are in some sort of weird euphoria. And I have to say, this is a pretty fucking good cigar. So if you're going to smoke anytime soon, Mr. Camarada, I would say go find yourself.
I see the opera singer.
Hey.
There's an opera here.
Beer for you right here. Have a beer. Huh? Grab a Smittix right there.
There's an opera singer here who smokes cigars before.
Hey, what's up?
You want to take some opera?
Pay you the normal rate, you know? But you might get a Sony commercial out of it. I don't know. Please, I'm serious. Grab a beer.
Huh?
I'm serious. Grab a beer.
brought some beers. So yeah. Passing them out.
And I'm not going to finish them because somebody was good enough to give us some scotch. And now life, you need a church key for that. So here we are at the Cigar King. We're talking to our friend Ron, and he is right here. And
it's a good time.
What's like else to say now?
I came here to watch the Super Bowl at the Cigar King, which me and Chris, last year, me and Chris came here to watch the Super Bowl.
That was a great time, but God damn it, you couldn't breathe in this place. And I'm hardcore about this. Yeah. I kept having to walk outside, man. And the year before that, I came with, was that the same year that my friend Scott was here?
I don't know.
I came here for the Super Bowl with Scott one year. A hole out, right. You know, and like look through it.
They have smoke heaters that I can see right from where we're sitting.
Yeah, those things are industrial size too.
It was jam packed with smoke. It was a good time too. Even though Chris was down having the worst vacation of his life down in Florida.
Well, that day was that was the day that I had the alien baby. It was not Monday like I thought. Sorry, I was wrong. It was the day before. That was the day I went to a cousin's house. I had some barbecue, you know. I hung out near our friend Monk, who is a federal licensed arms dealer out in the middle of nowhere in Florida, you know. And had some fun, drank some good whiskey and stuff, and then went and almost had an alien leg baby.
Wow, and you had the gout while you were on that vacation. It rained, right?
It rained. It was colder than shit.
It was a bad vacation.
I had an awesome time.
I had a great time up here watching this.
And then the most amazing part of it was that I just happened to be walking into the place, and who in right in front of me? But the Chalice, our fucking neighbors.
Yeah. You know,
and not only neighbors, actually, just there, Boy Scouts with us, but my actual neighbors were there.
Really?
Yeah, it was completely weird.
And did you guys spend any time together?
Yeah, we had a great time. We had dinner, we had drinks, and we kept running into each other. We swapped kids, you know.
Me and Annie took a trip to Tennessee, to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, one year, and we ran into my partner. Happened to be there, and my wife and my partner's wife held out and ended that way.
All right. I'm happy for you. Right. This is a really good cigar.
This is one drunk at?
Eight? And I got this whole cigar to go. Where are we going to go when they shut down my time because we got to pack all this shit up?
Well, we got 27 minutes left.
What are we going to talk about?
But we'll talk about it.
Well, you know, I sent out a list of all the different topics.
Somebody wrote, oh my God, men are on a tiny bean. Hey, it was a dime. It was the size of a grapefruit. So, same, right?
You know, that whole giving birth thing.
They're designed for it.
They're designed for it.
It's flexible.
I remember, you know, talking about how men passing kidney stones. Oh, now you know how it feels like to give birth.
Because that's not supposed to happen.
It's not designed. To stretch that
yeah,
way.
Sorry.
I mean, God designed women
stretch
to have babies.
It just tears and rips.
But God designed women to have babies.
That's
you know?
Right. Yeah. And to be barefoot.
Yeah.
I don't know why he didn't do the flat head thing. That would have been great. Make him all 4 feet tall. Now, listen, we've got to go. We've got to do.
Somebody asked me one time if I videotaped when my kids were born.
Who the fuck does that?
It's like watching a cat come in. It's like a Bernard come to her.
Yeah.
No, I ain't.
Yeah.
That.
Except on a tent.
My wife wouldn't have put up with
tent.
That anyway.
Except it's not then.
No, it's taking your hemorrhoid surgery in a few years,
yeah.
You know. No.
And then after you've watched it as a father, because after you watch that, it doesn't happen
yeah.
anymore. How do people have kids after watching that? I peeked in during mine. I almost fucking fainted.
Right.
I was like, what the hell?
I was asking the doctor, can you put an extra in there so that, you know.
Dude, you almost spit my beer,
listen,
man.
When my son was a whole, because our doctor required me to be in there. She required me to cut the cord, and because I had a whole list of one liners.
What kind of crap is that, man?
Well, she our doctor, she's no longer practicing in Illinois. She moved out because of the insurance. But she believed that filed to court because she figured it was less likely that you would ever grow to abuse a kid where you actually were part of the birth. There was a whole thing.
Yeah, you know, she has to go in the future and meet your kids and then come back and make that decision. She would instead say drown him down.
But I had a whole list of one-liners that I was going to use during the whole birthing thing.
I wouldn't recommend that.
No, they all went out of my head.
Yeah.
Watching that, yeah.
No, terrified. And everyone in the room is going to die. And so you quit being funny.
Yeah.
You just cry a lot and hold hands.
Well, my wife wanted me to beat up the nurses because they talked to her and they're not taking an epidural.
Holy shit,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck, even I had an epidural.
Now, my daughter's births, both of them were very
And
nice.
I had to put the epidural way up in my neck. My whole body was numb. It was awesome.
But my son's was 18 hours of back labor. By the end of it, I had broken blood vessels in my arm because of incisors and tried to help her. And she wanted me to kick the shit out of it. Yeah.
Wow. My daughter was born during halftime of the Super Bowl. He was fucking pissed, man. He was pissed. He grabbed those forceps and pulled on my daughter's head. She was like a fucking sugar daddy after like 2 hours in the summer. I said, hey, put those things away. You're going to have to wait. Yeah, he started having a TV wheeled into the room. I said, I don't think so.
Hey, I have a picture when my daughter Julie was born, my older daughter was born. And I have a picture of me and the anesthesiologist sitting on a couch in the room watching Cops. Literally 30 minutes before she was born, because we were all
my god,
because it was so. The doctor walked in right after I took that picture and you know to examine my wife. He goes, "Whoa, don't push!" And they're gowning her up. She's holding the baby in. Whoa, don't push! Because it was it was so easy the second birth.
See, your wife just wrote up. She was instilling a sense of responsibility, and then she read to me, "You should be scared, okay? I love giving birth."
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Well, my wife has always been a great pregnant lady. She had a lot of fun being pregnant. She was there's very few things that she looked a lot better. She always had the glow
I remember when she was pregnant, she looked awesome.
She looked the only thing is she could never
like I said, Annie, you looked awesome.
She could never go
into
the
they're
talking. She could never go into Dominic's because other than that, fine. No weird cravings too much, I don't think.
You know what I hate at the grocery store when you go on the day when they clean down?
Oh.
You walk in the front door and you're like, fuck. At night? What's up, man?
My cigar went out.
Oh, you poor bastard. We're going to, I'll be talking by myself for a minute one day and has an emergency cigar relighting right there. Bad buddy, you know? Yeah, he needs a light. I need another beer, so. My microphone smells like cigars. Well, Dave, maybe if you lit the whole thing evenly, it wouldn't go out so much. Jello.
Be crazy.
Actually, Crab, look at you. Hey, speaking of Jello, do you ever take blue make and then
put like the old
yet, but I will.
Here, son.
Seafood tonight. Ah.
Goldfish might work a little better because they would flow better, but it wouldn't taste as good.
Hey, can you use goldfish when you make meatloaf?
Hey, somebody put a Jell-O mold in it. Have you put pretzels in Jell-O mold? And that was disgusting. In Jell-O, yeah. I thought, too.
Too many people, they look at Jell-O, something in that. Leads me to believe why somebody hasn't made, like erotic Jell-O. You know, someone probably
has. I remember Science and Surplus, you can buy a Jell-O mold and that's the shape of a
brain. Like that.
Yeah. They teach you how to, and we did it. We made a brain because they give you, they tell you how to make it so it's white. You get the food coloring and put a little blood on it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. I used to, when I was a bartender, I used to make a drink called a brain. Let's see if I can remember. You take, it's this red liqueur, and I forget what, and then you pour Bailey's into it through a little, a tiny little tap thing, and it bits up at the bottom of the glass. It looks like in blood. It's awesome.
It's a red liqueur, though.
God, man. I forget. What was it? like cherry liqueur or something like that.
Wow.
That's one of the bar, it was one of the bar liqueurs. It didn't cost anything, man.
Maybe cinnamon?
No. So, you know, I tell you right now, I would be a bartender again. I would. That was a fun job.
I always wanted to own a bar. When I retire, I always wanted to own a bar.
Our radio show.
And I hard work. A lot of people told me that it's not as easy as it looks.
Yeah, whatever. What is?
Yeah, nothing.
And I record birds.
She's trying to set me up because I've given dissertations on how, you know, women get too much credit for giving birth. I mean, it's the man who has to sit there and watch the woman they love go through all this.
You can't. Imagine what it was like for women giving birth to actually smoke in the hospital.
Hey, you know, you can give birth in the fields. Soak it, honey. And we're going to a wedding tomorrow and the night.
Well, one of you, oh shit.
So I hope that.
Okay, what the hell is that? Something on Facebook says I fucked her?
What?
I don't know, man. Your computer does some weird shit, dude. I don't know. It's gone now.
Oh, it popped up? So, somebody sent me a message.
Yeah, it's 8:40, so we have to consider how long we're going to talk. What, you want to give us 10 minutes to get out? Is that enough time?
Yeah. Yeah, well, they don't care.
All right.
You pack up quick, too. Yeah, about another time. Well, what else were we going to talk about? I downloaded a bunch of stuff that I left.
The magazine to find out what Chicago salaries are like and see if they got my wife's listed in there again.
Well, you know, you can list, I don't know about a private company, but you can go and find, if you know somebody who works for the city, you can go on the Better Government Association's website, and they have a list of everybody's salary.
Well, I was doing salary checks this week for consultants, educational enhancement for the city of Chicago. The storyteller thing, which is what I want to do, their salaries. Educational consultants, which is really just a respelling of the same thing. They do really well. They're in like $69,000. That ain't bad.
No, it's not bad
you
at
know?
All.
So, but I did it the other day. It's kind of cool.
You're not going to it, do you?
You know, you got to.
What I mean, talking about, you don't want to talk about it, do you?
No. Yeah, I do want to say this though, man. You know, recession-proof jobs and stuff. You've got one.
Yeah, right? I do.
And
I remember. I remember sitting talking to my partner years ago when the dot-com boom was going on. We grew up with was making a ton of money.
Yeah.
And we was sitting there going, we really lost out on a lot of this money. But if the economy ever goes bad, we're in a safe job. We got seniority. We're all right.
What are they all doing?
They're all scrambling for jobs.
Actually, I got a friend I grew up with. Then went on and invented some huge fuck thing and made a lot of money. And it turns out, right before the bust, because he was working for another, he developed it at home, they claimed it as theirs.
Wow.
And he spent years fighting them in court, and then he ultimately had lost. But you know what? He did something right. It's pretty, man.
Well,
he's got a house in California. He's got a ranch in Kentucky.
Wow. I once met the director.
Get out of here.
Yeah. He worked for Zenith. And he used to work at Costner and North Avenue when I worked at Lane Curtis right next door. Hmm. And I met the guy. And Zenith got all the original credit for that.
What I was thinking is that, you know, as we're watching in our first book, we're watching the publishing industry. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but the publishing industry is tanking around us.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm thinking, you know, what do storytellers do? What do authors do when their industry is not exactly making them money? What we're going now is companies are going to stop doing returns, which means your sales are going to be low. People are going to stop doing advances but give you a higher percentage of the sales. So it used to be you get a huge advance, like, you know, $100,000 advance, and then you get 7%, then 12%, then 17%, depending on your sales and stuff. Well, now what they're going to do is give you nothing,
yeah.
And you get 50% of the sales. Well, frankly, that's not bad.
No.
No, but it's good. And,
can we change our contract to that then?
No. And so my question is to myself was, what as a storyteller, how do you still to get stories out there, living at it? And what I realized is the one thing that you cannot duplicate is live events.
Right.
And, you know, what am I good at? I'm good at talking. And I can get about a fucking hair on my mind. Yes.
Oh, that brings
something I should know.
Oh, go ahead.
Anyway, live events I think is where it's going to be for a lot of people, you know. And I got good ideas for that kind of thing. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, our book comes out. We do a lot of live events.
We are, man. I rack that so good.
You brought up the other subject. We're
blonde.
Wait here, Chris. Chris felt be about he has to get up thing in the morning and take his daughter to get her hair cut. It's
I'm gonna forget.
Yeah, ritzy, some ritzy, and
we can't talk about it. All I can say is that somebody that I know somebody who knows somebody else who works at an extremely well-known, very pricey, town snooty. On the deck of the basement.
The version of a garage mechanic. My point was is that you're taking your daughter if they get it. And the one thing is that I said they have such simple hairstyles. we can do it ourselves and pocket the money.
Today we are going your hair. It's amazingly exotic. Comb. No, what you got to understand is that simple beautiful they have cost a fucking $100, man.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous.
My hair bucks.
Yeah, you're not as pretty as my wife. I bet your wife spends a shitload of money on her hair. Man.
Yeah, but my wife doesn't get her hair cut very old.
She's lucky that curly hair bun.
Yeah.
My wife is Irish. She's lucky she still has any hair.
Hey, well, we were talking here, it started going off on a tangent, and I was like, well, we got to shut up and talk about this. We're on the air now.
So,
a lot of times we blow our conversation on the way in.
What was the question you asked?
Said that that your daughter gets her because of some sort of color that'll last.
Her hair is found. My daughter wants crimson red hair, you know, punky crimson red, long Jennifer Aniston hair, to be crimson, like her head is bleeding.
All right, and I said
your wife spends about $150. Yeah, I don't know if you know this. We talked about that. So
what I would say was I never realized that she colored her hair. And I said, what's your daughter's normal hair color?
I don't know. I don't remember. It's been so many colors. Her and my niece. I don't remember what my niece's hair.
Now realize young girls got their hair colored very often.
Are you kidding? Girls
no,
and
no.
boys, man. Emo kids must spend $300 a year on their fucking hair.
Who?
It's all black emo kids.
What are emo kids?
They're like the sad, girly boys.
Well, I've seen boys get the hair with the weird tips or something.
Yeah. As
far as girls coloring, like, you can't tell what. So it's not so that it looks punkish,
mm-hmm.
but so that the colors change.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that girls did. Now, my mother did it for a year.
I don't know what colors of hair, and she's colored her hair so much since I met her, I'm not entirely certain what color her hair actually is.
Well, yeah. But you.
No, I can't. To an unfortunate way, I don't get to. You know? There's nothing else there. No? Bald as a baby's bottom, man.
Hey, well, my wife's listening. She might tell her.
She'll never tell her. You better not tell her. You know? Speaking I never realized that's why that happens. I thought it was just kind of cool. Now I realize, you know.
All right, a subject came
you
up.
Can't really die that.
A so. Subject came up this week, speaking of not telling, you know, saying things to your wife. Now, a subject came up this week, and I can't talk about it, but because I don't want to.
So how are you going to do this?
I don't want to get in trouble if it appears.
Oh,
somewhere.
Man.
Well, let's just say. That a certain
chat room
guy,
is eerily quiet right now.
A certain guy has a huge secret to be kept from his wife. Part of it was in the paper this week, and it'll be I'm sure it'll be coming out in the next few weeks. But my boss at work had mentioned, he'll never tell his wife. Not unless his name appears in the paper will he ever tell his wife. And this had to do with infidelity and a little bit of this.
Well, I'm so curious, man. What the hell are you talking about?
The story comes
okay,
out.
So a guy has a huge secret. So let's say that the grocer in town is from a different market.
There's infidelity in that. But it gets even worse than that, and I'll tell you about that later. My wife's listening right now. She knows what's going on. The point is, my boss was there. Oh, yeah, he'll never tell his wife. I'm like, this guy can walk into the house and keep a secret like this unless it comes out, and this is something that would be in the news if it came out. Then, my God, my first instinct was, well, that's a hell of a guy. I mean, that'd be somebody that could keep that quiet is, well, and my second thought was that my article about men, that she thinks that somebody who goes through a traumatic incident, you know, can then not formally.
Last name Bobbitt?
No. No, but it's close to that.
Did someone pull a Samson on him?
No, I'll tell you the story. But the point is that I was wondering, do women really believe that men keep secrets that well?
I mean, they think that it's just like liberals think that there's this huge conspiracy in government and don't realize that would be impossible because they're just not that good at that shit.
Yeah.
Well, same thing with men. We're just not that good at it. We would tell everybody.
I remember early in our marriage, we had conversations about things, you know, are you keeping secrets and stuff. You're like, I don't have the brain up with the idea to even come up with that level to pull something like that off where a conspiracy.
It's so bad in my marriage, I can't even fantasize to the fantasy being getting turned.
I can't even lie about how much I drink. I mean, if I go out and say, and my wife goes, so how many drinks do you have today? I can't sit there and go, one.
Yeah, no.
At all.
That's an implausible number.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. I mean, the thing is I couldn't pull it off.
My wife is so much smarter than me and everyone I know that I quit millions of years ago. I quit even trying to, like, if she says, did you pay that bill? It used to be, oh, yeah, I took care of that. And then I run out and do it. No, not anymore. I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
Total honesty, man. But let's just say that has an opportunity that he takes advantage of, all right? You know, it's one of those godsend kind of things.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, you're locked in an elderly that, all right, now I'll just take some kind of weird horny drug.
Right.
Right? You're the only guy there. You got to pony up, okay?
Right.
Well, okay.
Well, yeah, but then you
could never keep that secret.
You're defending your gender at that point.
Okay, that is true. Maybe that's too exaggerated, but nevertheless, you could never keep that secret. You could never keep that secret because you would have to tell some other dude, you'll never guess. And then, you know, they once they finally believe you and you show them the claw marks and everything, then they're going to tell another dude, you will not believe what so-and-so did. And that third guy will be talking to your wife.
Yeah, or the third guy who's talking to his wife will be talking to your
wife. Right, it'll never, and even if that third guy's wife doesn't know your wife, she'll call your wife and just bring it up.
Yeah, now having said that, I just thought of a great story that I've heard that's gone around the police department for years, and I'm pretty sure it's true. But it's a little before my time. But there was a group of detectives who told their wives they were going on a...
Oh, man.
Up to Canada. Flies, no contact, no electricity, nothing. And what they did actually was going
on hookers.
They went on a Playboy cruise.
Oh, man.
So they come back to the forest preserve right by our house. They go pay a Mexican worker from Belmont in Milwaukee to come up with them. They all get dressed in flannels, and they rented a canoe, and they took a bunch of pictures floating down the river going to the forest preserve, like their fish are holding up. They went to Dominic's, got fish, they're holding up fish, you know. They took all came home and showed these pictures to their wives. And as far as I know, got away with it completely.
Yeah, until today.
Well, yeah. It's years ago.
That'd be a great movie. And then they screw it up somehow, you know. Like it's on Facebook, and somebody pictures. Your notice is like there's the 7-Eleven they always go to,
yeah, or the Superdog. You can see
the Superdog right there, because they're stealing power from the light pole. You know that they did that, right?
What?
For years, Superdog had all their electricity coming from the light pole in front of their store.
Really?
Yeah, they got hit hard. They got hit hard.
You know, there's actually a website that will do that. That will formulate an alibi.
Oh yeah.
So that if you're like going
like a liar's
basically.
I'm a Mason. I get it done for free. All right? You know? I get my ass covered for free. He's helping us. Larry Lozier again, not knowing what Rye is. He says, yeah, Chris was helping us feed the poor that week. Hell yeah.
4-minute
warning. Okay.
Our
4-minute warning.
So
we better fuck out of the cigar case.
Well, why don't we wrap it up?
We're already talking about pussy and beer, so it's time to quit.
All right, well, we're going to wrap this up, and we'll be back again next week at the Cigar King. And
all right.
Skokie, if you want to come out here and join us and have a cigar.
Okay.
You know, my voice actually sounds kind of like a cigar and a half. But
it's kind of turning me on, Dave. I think we should definitely get off the air.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I think you get sick, though.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Dave and Chris Show, and please send us an email from perfectlyharmlessradio.com. Visit davehaines.net. And visit deathbychildren.com, and also get your ass out of your house and come down to Cigar King and buy some cigars. If you don't smoke cigars, buy them anyway. Send them to us. So there you go.
All right. And if money's a problem, then send us your problem.
Just steal them, and just don't tell anybody.
The American Southern Gentlemen's Anti-Defamation Association and WJJG would like to reassure listeners of the Dave and Chris Show that the previous comment by Dave